Well, good morning once again. Happy Father's Day. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11 will be our text. And I'll go ahead and read that straight through the end of the chapter, through verse 32, so we can get the full context. We're going to read the whole parable of the prodigal son. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father, but he was still a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his oldest son was in the field, and he came and he drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. This morning we shall be focusing in on the father in the parable. Our character study will be approached from the perspective of a good human father, and also concerning that of our divine Father who is in heaven. Note first that he loved both sons unconditionally. Second, he enjoyed sharing of his love and of his time with his children. And finally, we will have five further points of application arising from that which precedes. He loved both sons unconditionally. Note that the Father let them make their own way in life. His younger son left home, and he moved away to go sow his wild oats, as it were. Prodigal living, predictably, led to trouble and poverty. But the father loved him enough to allow him to experience the consequences of his poor decisions. As a loving parent, he understood the proverbs in Scripture, and he applied them well, praying all the while for a good outcome. As is written in Solomon, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. The oldest son stayed at home and told the mark. Outwardly, but not fully in his heart. God is like that father in the parable. He lets us go away, or he'll let us remain with selfish reservations until we come believing in faith without further condition. What must I do to be saved? Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the promise is this, that if we will believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths, we shall be saved. There is no favoritism with Almighty God, for he himself has written, for there is no partiality with God. He does not love you more than any other people simply because you happen to be beautiful people, which you are. You must also be humble, willing to cast your souls at his mercy, to be as one who receives the promise, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Some, such as the oldest son in the parable, will yet accuse the father of favoritism. But be careful that you do not lay a charge against Almighty God, for it is you who are unfair, and the Lord who is just in all of his dealings. The father enjoyed sharing of his love and his time with his children. You see, the younger son, the prodigal, knew this about the nature of the father. He had spent much time as a youth on his father's knees, receiving instruction, which he chose to reject. But he knew that when push came to shove, if he walked away, his father's love was unconditional and he would receive him back if he came back humbly. And so he came to him when he came to himself, and he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" He remembered his father's generous spirit towards all people. And so he says, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.'" What of your relationship as father and son, whichever you may be, or both? How has it come to hear the way that the situation is this day? Someone must seek a reconciliation, and someone must receive it. Spiritually speaking, Christ has committed to us the word of reconciliation, which is the gospel. We, as sons and daughters, may seek the reconciliation when we come to ourselves, and God will surely grant it, because of such is his character. Sadly, this is not always so with our earthly fathers, but it is always so should you come to your heavenly Father with faith and repentance, saying, "Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. And forgiveness and restored relationship will then surely be the order of the day." Certainly, good applications for Father's Day as a father, as a son. But we can apply this to all of our relationships on the human level. In an even greater sense, concerning our Heavenly Father. So what does the father in our parable do? He rejoices and he calls a feast. He says, "Let's celebrate and enjoy some family time. It's been too long in coming. Our family has been fractured for years. And that's enough for that. That ends today. Therefore, we're going to celebrate. Everybody, set aside your nonsense and get with the program. Life is too short to continue in that way. Rejoice with those who rejoice is the command. So let us rejoice when any occasion calls for it, especially in our own family, earthly and spiritual." On Friday, we had a wedding. Rich and Malie entered into God's holy covenant, and we rejoice with them. Also on Friday, I lost a sister in the Lord and a sister as the world goes. Though we be sad, we rejoice because she's arrived in heaven. And so again, I say with Paul, rejoice. Show me a man who has no cause to rejoice, and I will show you an unthankful and lost man, an ingrate. And so we will close our Father's Day message with five brief points of application. First, children, be reconciled to your Father. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. That's exactly what I'm doing this morning. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Second, get over your petty resentments. Third, forgive. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. There's a gentleman who likes to call the local radio station here in Woonsocket, and he pretty much always begins his calls with, "Is this the complaint department?" Friends, complaint department's closed. It's closed for repairs and renovation. It's a state job. It's going to be closed forever. Nobody's fixing that department, for the Lord has closed it. If today is not a day for a restored relationship, maybe today is not the right day. You're not going to get an opportunity today. As much as depends on you, live at peace with others. But you can't control somebody else's response. But what you can do is you can leave room for such opportunity tomorrow, another day. Don't close the gate and burn the bridge. I speak of human relationships to this point, to settle up with God through Jesus Christ, however, must be done today. If there's anything unsettled, any reconciliation that must be made, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not wait. Roll the dice. You've landed on this day, and if you must settle accounts with the Lord, whether it be for the first time or the umpteenth time, come to him humbly on bended knee on the basis of his sacrifice, the sacrifice of his love, the blood of his cross, and the victory of his resurrection. Accept his gracious offer of salvation and live in it. And finally, if you've been like the younger son, and you've been in the house all this time, don't look at your brother or your sister who's gone off and done this, this, and that. Concern yourself not with them, but concern yourself with being in the house and what you're doing and why you're there. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this appointed day, this Father's Day, to call attention to certain things concerning fatherhood, our own fatherhood, our own fathers, and your fatherhood, Lord God. If we call you Father, why then do we not do the things which you say? Lord, impress upon us the cost and the beauty of our salvation, the privilege of being grafted in as a member of your house, as sons and daughters. May we not take this for granted. May we not be of a spirit of grumbling and complaining. But may we rejoice always to be in your house. We pray that your words and the applications derived therefrom will hit as an arrow the center of each and every heart, even dividing soul and spirit, that we might be convinced as to how we ought to live, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, but at the same time with joy and peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.